Time moves very quickly in our church lectionary. It was just over 2 weeks ago that we gathered to celebrate the birth of Christ. And just this past Friday, the three wise men arrived in Bethlehem to worship the Christ child, and we entered the season of Epiphany. And this morning, here we are, and it's 30 years later in Scripture time, and Jesus is about to be baptized by his cousin John in the River Jordan. Truth be told, the church has never really been comfortable with the baptism of Jesus because we can't explain why he chose to be baptized. I mean, there Jesus was, just standing in line with a bunch of sinners and renegades. They had sins of varying degrees of seriousness, and they were all waiting for the Baptist to redeem them from their sins through the water of the Jordan. We know why they're there. We know why we'd be there. But Jesus, why is Jesus there? Why was Jesus with a bunch of sinners to receive a sacrament he didn't need? It's a question I've gotten a lot over the course of my ministry, and it's a question that theological scholars have wrestled with ever since that fateful day that Jesus just indiscriminately lined up at the River Jordan. It would be easier to explain Jesus' actions if he had just simply been standing on the shoreline, making sure that the crowds entered the River Jordan in an orderly fashion, or helping the newly baptized out of the water and back to the shoreline, or congratulating him on the promise of new life. He could have even decided to go and help John with the actual baptisms if he had wanted to, but he didn't. And while the scriptures never tell us exactly why Jesus decided to be baptized, the answer seems pretty clear to anyone who believes in the incarnation. If God cared enough to come to earth and be born in human flesh, to live and die as one of us, then God cared enough to get in the river with us, to get in the mud of life with us, to experience the sorrow of repentance and the joy of new life with us. You see, it's through the waters of baptism that God transcends that barrier between heaven and earth. No longer is God a distant, unapproachable sovereign. Rather, God has torn open the heavens and swooped into our world like a dove, making the incarnate God's new covenant with humanity. And in the case of Jesus' baptism, just to make sure that there's no misunderstandings about what's going on, as Jesus rises from the waters of the Jordan, a proclamation comes from heaven for all the world to hear. This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Now at your baptism, or at any number of baptisms you've witnessed, chances are pretty good you didn't hear a voice that sounded like James Earl Jones coming from heaven. And you probably didn't see a dove floating down to light on the newly baptized. But that doesn't mean God wasn't present. Each time someone is baptized, each time the sign of the cross is made on the forehead of the newly baptized with these words, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever," we are reminded that God continues to swoop into our world and claim us as God's own. We are given new life and a new identity through the waters of baptism. And in this new life, we make a covenant with God to live our lives by a certain standard that separates us from the rest of the world. It's a covenant that becomes our ministry, our mission in life, a mission and ministry that we share with all of our brothers and sisters. And the foundation of this ministry rests on a set of 5 charges that each of us are asked to commit to. And in a few minutes, as is customary on this feast day of the baptism of our Lord, we will renew our baptismal covenant. And we will reaffirm those 5 charges to remind us that they form the heart of our faith. We are charged to continue in the apostles' teaching, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers, to resist evil and when we fall into sin, to repent and return to the Lord. We are charged to proclaim the good news of God in Christ and to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And yet what I think is the hardest of them all, we are charged to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. This is our reminder of who and what we are called to be as Christians. We are called to live our baptismal covenant. And we live out the ministry of that covenant in our actions and in our deeds. The way we live our lives in this world matters. Because how we live our lives, what people see us doing, is how the world identifies us and knows us as Christians. Living the covenant is our ministry, and it's a full-time job. And I would submit to you, it's the most difficult job you'll ever have. This season of Epiphany is a very good time to renew the work of discerning how God has called us to live. It's a good time to remember that we are all created in the image of God, and we are all God's people, and God's love for all of us is beyond our wildest comprehension. But if you remember nothing more today, remember this. It is also a good time to remember that we are all sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen.